Welcome to the Gary T. Roller Show. Join Gary as he chats with today's innovators and changemakers of the health and wellness movement. Together, we will discover our healthier selves.
Guys, welcome back to another episode of the Gary T. Roller Show, Conversations with Changemakers. Once again, we've got a repeat guest, a dear friend of mine from Canggu, Bali, Carl Massey. Now, I'm busy reading, well, staring at his new book, The Successful Mind, the fourth book. Very accomplished author. I've got all his books in the show notes beneath here, so go have a look. And I'm going to read you the back, and we're going to segue into where Carl is busy segueing into. Change your beliefs, change your life. Carl Massey is the author of The Guidebook to Happiness, The Guidebook to Optimum Health, and The Guidebook to Authentic Success, plus a coach and NLP master practitioner, a former major in the Australian Army, and an Olympic Games anti-terrorism consultant. He's committed to helping people tap into their true potential in order to experience more health, vitality, happiness, and authentic success in their lives. It pumps me up. I hope it pumped you up. This man really is changing the mindsets of many people. And I'm so grateful to be sitting down with you.
Thank you. Absolute pleasure to be back. Thank you for having me again.
Of course. Yeah. So guys, if you missed the last episode, it was episode 32. So rewind back in the show's history, go listen to that. We spoke a lot about what Carl is doing as a coach, but now he's in a transition in his life and he's transitioning. I met him at the practice, a beautiful, amazing yoga studio, in Canggu, and I say yoga studio meaning the way of life that a yogi should live. It's not just asanas where you're burning calories, etc. Led by the main teacher, Octavio, who's amazing. So if you're in the area, come have a look. But Carl was one of the founders of the practice, and we reach a place now in time where you're segueing into your own business. How, why, what is happening?
Interesting. I was clearing all my emails because I only just 1st of June was my last day, and we're on whatever we are, the 4th of June or something like that. Yeah. So it's only a few days since I finished up at the practice. So I was clearing all my stuff and I realized I started consulting to the founders of the practice back in 2014, middle of 2014. So it's been quite a long period of time. And you know, I transitioned into that role because I was just coaching Rob and Octavia. They came up with the idea to build this yoga center. I knew both of them hadn't been in business at this extent before. I wanted to help them business-wise, and I also love working with two different people who are in different life cycles, money cycles, belief cycles, all of that. And I knew that I needed to wedge myself in the middle of that to keep those guys from choking each other out at some point as the project sort of started up. So I've been involved with it since then, and I was one of the co-owners from when we first opened up, February 2016. So it's been a while, and you know, fantastic experience for me. My thing with the transition was I wanted to simplify my life a little bit. I realized how much time and energy I was consumed and absorbed in thinking about the practice. And this is for any business owner. You know, if you run a business and, you know, we have 20 employees in a foreign country, so you've got foreign workers, we've got yoga teachers coming in, two business partners, a large facility here, large space, lots of things happening around it. There wasn't too much in my life where I wasn't thinking about the practice. So I'm like, okay. So the idea of just checking in, and I think so many people become really good at doing something and continue to do what they're good at rather than taking the plunge and having the courage to step outside of it. And we need to check in to see, am I still digging what I'm doing? And, you know, as I was telling Gary before he started this, there was a couple of things going on in the business. There's always a bit of friction with business partnerships and people building things around us and all that sort of stuff. So
Were you distracted?
Was I?
Did you get to a point where business was distracting you from?
Ask my girlfriend. She would definitely say, like, come on, stop thinking about your business. It's Sunday. This is quality time. Stop business. Remove it. But the ability to do that was challenging. So there was that. And, you know, there's a couple of things come up in the business and you're like, you know, feeling a little bit of something going on. So there's not harmony. And, you know, it's okay if you have moments of disharmony. But if, you know, there's less harmony and more disharmony, something needs to shift.
Yeah.
And you know, life has a way of throwing some curveballs at you to wake you up to the idea that something needs to change.
Yeah.
But the point I want to make, and the point I really want to make for your listeners, is if we're going through some disruption in work, in relationship, or whatever, we don't make the decision as to whether it's right, wrong, or otherwise while we're in the middle of that. I teach people about decision making, and it's, you know, something I'm fascinated with. So I say it's not a smart idea to make a decision when you're in the middle of that mix. You need to take yourself out and you need to zen up. Mm. So for me, it was took off up the east coast of Bali, Chandidasa, on the water, just super chilled out, meditations, eating good food and that sort of stuff. And then when I'm completely settled, then I plug back in and say, what's next?
Yeah. Now, you would have been completely zen out. And one of the first world, shall I say, 21st century problems that a lot of people have in their life is they don't want to disrupt the norm that's going on in their life. And I mean that in all aspects. And yep. One of the biggest things is they do not want to cause grievances in their current relationship. So now you've got a business relationship, business partnership. How did you navigate and how can other people, because you might have had it easy, but how do other people navigate it when they need it? They realize this is not for me. I need to change this, but it's going to affect people around them.
I think first thing you have to realize that there will be disruption.
Yeah.
So if you go into it thinking this is going to be easy, then you're setting yourself up for failure. So acknowledge the fact there's going to be some uncomfortable conversations. So my thing is, and I love figuring stuff out. I actually love when things turn into mess.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you're the master strategist.
Yeah, because then I like, okay, so this is a situation. I've made this decision that I'm going to move on. I then ask myself some good questions. I say, okay, given that this is the decision I've made, how can I make it a win-win-win? So how can I make it a win for me, a win for my business partners, a win for the business, a win for my intimate partner?
Yeah.
So I just like, and again, I need to be in the right space to like, okay, now it's time to get creative. Mm. And I love that. And I love my three favorite words at the moment are curiosity, creativity, and courage.
Yeah.
And the combination of those three together are just, they're the magic juby juice.
I love that. So we, like I said, Claire and I are going through the same transition now. We've met with a potential partner in our business and we're also consultants. And like, I'm a coach as well. And I can relate to all of this because I left the corporate world because I was tired of thinking about it 24/7. It's like, it is for some people. For me, I'm, you know, trying to declutter. And it's about what the questions we've been asking ourselves is, what is our creative flow? Like, what gets our prana circulating in our body besides the normal asanas that we're practicing every morning and meditation? Mm-hmm. But like, what really gets us going every day? And it's quite a hard question because of all the noise in the world. And it's like, whoa, that's when you realize, like, I need to quieten down. And that's when the world tells you you are failing. Because, slowing down in the world is, like, especially the Western world.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's, like, not really called on. What kind of tools do you put into place to keep your quiet space in your life in order to be creative, courageous?
Look, I was working with a client the other day and it came down to, you know, and this person was all over the place and completely stressed out as a result of it. So a lot of it was just really practical, was actually getting them into like scheduling and like, instead of thinking, oh yeah, it'll work itself out. I don't do the it'll work itself out show. So for me, it's getting practical and it's, for me, I like to have through the week, and I have it at the start of the week. So Monday morning is like my planning. And not only planning projects I've got on work-wise, looking at my relationship, looking at my health, like looking at everything. What I've found is a lot of times people will get 6, 12 months, 3 years down the track and realize, shit, I should have changed something way back when. So I'm a big believer in every single week at the same time checking in. And it's like the idea of we want to be clear of our goals, but we want to like, you know, clear of our goals, then get down, do the work, but stop, stick your head back up again. And I'm going through the actions as I'm
Yeah,
going.
No, I love it, guys. If you can see this,
I'm coming back up again and I'm looking, I'm confirming, is that still the direction I want to go? Is that still what I really want to do? Yes, it is. Back down, continue working for a week, come back up. So I do that on that level. And each day I plan out my day. And my theory is, if you have a successful day, and a series of successful days equals a successful life. So I'm a big one on just checking in on a regular basis and not leaving it to fate or chance.
I think I passed the test because a week ago, I included, I'm just putting it out now, in my diary, and I made it a permanent event every Sunday.
Awesome.
Goal and intention feedback.
Yeah, classic.
Because I was like, I had all my goals and my intentions and what I want to drive towards, but I wasn't being accountable every week.
Yeah.
It was like 4 weeks have passed and I'm like, jeez, like where did that month go?
Yeah. I mean, I think, I was going to say life doesn't want us, but that's probably not the right thing. The marketing and consumerism doesn't want us checking in to see whether we're still doing that. They want us hypnotized.
Yeah.
They want us just to keep doing what we've always done.
It's so crazy you bring that up because I'm the biggest believer in it. Like, consumerism drives me nuts. And, like, I've gained the awareness, but you still cannot shut off to it. And it was something I was going to ask Octavio after class one day. Actually, I didn't get around to it because he seemed, he was busy talking to someone else. And the question was, how come when you slow down and you put in mindful awareness, practical tips and techniques into your life, does life become more sensitive? You almost become more sensitive and it feels like that you're not managing the world as effectively as you did when you weren't aware of everything. Like, I don't know if you catch my drift. Like, when I wasn't aware, like heavy noise and all that didn't affect me. Now, like being aware and mindful, like the scooters and the motorbikes and all that, like, and I have to like go back home.
That's the challenge of going clean and cleaning out, whether it's your diet, whether it's your life, your lifestyle, is you do become more sensitive to things. So that can be a negative, but it can also be a positive because you become more sensitively aware of what's working, what's not working. So it definitely has a benefit there.
That's amazing. Now, you have got something amazing coming up. You're leaving Bali this month.
Yep.
And heading back home to Oz.
Yeah.
What are your plans? I know you've got, is it Brisbane? Where's the first one? The first life masterclass.
Going to be down in Melbourne, actually.
Melbourne. I love Melbourne.
I've got family things happening. One of the things I decided for this year, and I like the idea of setting a theme for the year.
Yeah.
So my theme for this year was celebration. And I realized that there's lots of things for me to celebrate. And obviously this transition is for me to celebrate stepping into the unknown as opposed to being fearful of it. So I'm going down to Australia, do some family stuff, but then I've got my 30-year reunion of graduating from the Royal Military College. So, you know, for people who want to add the numbers up, I'm turning 50 this year.
So it's your 30-year reunion. It's your 20-year reunion since you started personal development.
And it's my 50th birthday.
This is a big year. So if you can add them all together, it's your 100th. It's your 100th. You're raising the bats. If anyone watches cricket out there, he's raising the bats.
It's classic. So lots of stuff happening. So
good on you, man. Well done for where you've landed up now. It's incremental.
Yeah. And this like idea of like 20 years in the personal development. And just letting people know that, you know, you might not see changes straight away. It's the, you know, the daily persistent, consistent stuff that leads to major life changes. So it's like some people think the little stuff doesn't matter. It's like that little stuff day in, day out makes all the difference.
But essentially we've spoken about consumerism, and another arm of that is getting used to immediate results. So like, you know, it's the lose 10 pounds in 5 days, whatever, like make $1 million in 1 month. It's these quick fixes that have got people a bit confused, should I say. Give them benefit of the doubt. And that people don't see those small changes. So they think like changing, waking up and making your bed every morning, it's not going to get them into their place of purpose. But it's actually forming your whole structure of your day and getting you there. How important do you believe the little things that you change in every single day are more important than the massive decisions you make maybe weekly, monthly?
I'm not a big this or this sort of. There's definitely benefits of both of them. I think for me, one of my fundamental teachings is essential to do a daily routine and be really have that as a foundational piece. So I think that foundational piece sets me up to build things on top of it. Yeah. So I can't do the biggest stuff and I can't maintain my calm in the biggest stuff and I can't take things bigger unless I'm doing the little basics. Basics sustain me.
I suppose you could relate it very much to yoga. Like if your asana is eventually strong and stable, your meditation and your mind is going to be strong and stable.
Well, the idea of yoga is to strengthen the spine so you can sit longer in meditation. The intention of the asanas.
But Carl, what about the hot, sweaty yoga? I want to lose calories. I mean, that's so crazy. Let's move on. Five things that successful people don't do. I know you shared an email and video.
I'm trying to remember what I wrote
regarding
down.
That. I'm not too interested in like the actual five things. What I want to ask you is, we see so many motivational pieces and so many motivational videos of do this, do that, do this. And people forget about the things that are holding us back, the things that we need to let go of. What do you find in your life over the last 20 years that you had to let go of and weren't working and it wasn't working for you?
In coaching, there's a concept of what got us to where we are is the thing holding us back from going to the next level. So I think one of the biggest things is maintaining a level of self-awareness and working out, you know, being clear about what's working for you and what's not. What I realized for me personally was my intensity, you know, to get things done has got me to the level of getting a whole bunch of books out, becoming a major in the army, being a consultant around the world, and that sort of thing. But I've realized to go to my next level of evolution, I actually need to be less intense. Because intensity, think sort of tension, think contraction, think force. I think to evolve truly to a whole new level, 10x, is creativity. So I don't want to be in that tense space. And my intensity, I need to do everything myself if I'm using intensity as my tool. So my new tool needs to be creativity. Mm. And creativity and stress can't coexist.
Yeah.
So, you know, part of me letting things go is letting go of my need to have to do everything myself. Oh, let go of the need to have my plan 100% figured out. Like, you know, this transition for me now, I've told people that, saying, what's next? And they're expecting me to have, you know, the list of things. Yeah. I'm like, what I've actually done this time is, as an idea bubbles to mind, I haven't followed the thought. Mm. I've just let it bubble and I'm just letting things percolate. And this is, you know, early June now. So I'm going to give myself the month of July to just sit down with all that stuff that's percolated and then actually start putting some stuff down. But letting go of the need to do every little thing, letting go of the need to know how something is going to unfold over the full term of its life cycle. So getting started on something where you go, I have got no clue. I'm going to bring this to fruition. So, you know, part of my transition is I want to get to a stage where I'm doing a seminar for 500 people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing seminars for like 40 or 50 people now. Like it's like 10 times. If someone says to me, how exactly are you going to take it from 50 people to 500? I don't exactly know. But I'm going to start walking in that direction and I'm going to, you know, keep moving along and stay creative and open up to the idea that there's probably going to be other resources that come around me that bring that into being.
If your intention is set, then what happens is everything that you do in life is geared towards that one goal. So it's like, you won't go from 50 to 500. You'll go from 50 to 100 or 200 or 300, or you might also go straight to 500. But if you obviously expect to go from 50 to 500, you could get demotivated along
Absolutely.
The way. For people out there, like, because everyone's got big goals out there.
Yeah.
And it's like, Carl is very successful. And he's, like you said, he's authored four books and he owns this business in Canggu, which he's getting out of now. And he was like a consultant for the Olympic Games. So at 50, he could sit down and say, okay, I'm accomplished and retire kind of vibe. But he's got bigger goals and he doesn't know how he's going to get there. But I think from what I understand, what you're saying is the only way you're going to figure it out is if you have space to think, create, slow down.
Yeah. And one thing thing I've been teaching recently with those three C's, the curiosity, courage, and creativity. A lot of times we have these ideas, have these thoughts, think it, something's going to be a particular way, but it's not until we step across the line that we actually get true clarity. So we have a certain amount of clarity when we're dreaming up our plans of this business is I'm going to do this and this product I'm going to create like this and this thing I'm going to do. You will never know with absolute certainty until you step over the line. And that takes courage. So that's the thing for me is, you know, the point you talked about before, I like the idea of this realistic optimist. So yes, I want to go from 50 to 500, but I am a realistic optimist. Mm-hmm. In the past, I wasn't a realistic optimist. I'd be overly optimistic and then stressed when I didn't get those targets when I wanted to. And I'd be stressed along the way trying to get those targets, which isn't the right place to be creating anything awesome. You know, stress and creativity don't work so well together.
They say in Ayurveda, they believe that the digestion is the cause of great or ill health, as well as a great or ill mindset. Mm. It all starts in the stomach. And one of their tenets is do not have anything cold because it constricts the digestive system. And that's similar to what stress does. It constricts you. It makes you tight. It makes you into a ball. And then you cannot like propel yourself. Like use that nutrition in your body or use your creativity to go to a higher space. And it's the more I read about different ancient principles, the more I'm like, wow, like why has the world just like gone against this? Because it's like, and it's been so interesting, like especially with working with people and like coaching like one-on-one and like how people have not been seeing this for so long. And every day I wake up and I do a gratitude list. And like the one constant I'm always grateful for is like being aware and I don't think curious, but I think like asking the right questions. So I'm like the curiosity that you say. And it's this is like creativity sometimes not always there because I'm stressed. I've got to learn. But it really is. Like, I love that. Curiosity, creativity, and courage. Mm. It's like those three really will get you to where you need to be.
One of the things that just popped to mind then, which I think is an important thing for us all, is to realize that no one else has got it all figured out all the time. Mm. So a lot of times we, particularly in the day and age, we live in social comparisons and that. And I just ran a workshop the other day and I was making the distinction that it's all right to compare yourself to yourself from your past as opposed to spend all your time comparing yourself. Like if you want to compare yourself, like have a look at, am I in a better place than I was 6 months ago, 12 months ago? 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. And this idea of, you know, constant and never-ending improvement, that idea of you only need to do a few percent better each time and, you know, compound interest over time. So I think for people to realize that not everyone else has got it figured out. And I certainly don't sit in front of people and say I've got it all figured out. I'm a work in progress. I'm a 50 years work in progress. Yeah. And, you know, there's times where I'll have a meltdown and I'll like be observing myself having that meltdown and going, what the heck is going on here? You know better than this. What are you doing?
I know.
So that stuff, you know, acknowledging the humanness of us all.
I love that. Just like 2 hours ago, I was reading an article and it finished with a quote to say, I honor progress over perfection. And they said, write that somewhere and read it every single day. And I was like, wow, I need to learn that, eh? Sometimes also I'll have like freak outs or stress outs and I'm like, what's going on? And then I'm like, I look at myself in the mirror. I'm like, come on, you tosser.
Yeah. I mean, I get the benefit now of being 50 and being able to look back and say, it was okay that I didn't achieve this in 12 months and that it took 5 years. Like, it really didn't matter in the bigger scheme of things. So often we're seduced by society or society's norms or whatever to think we need to be doing these things. Yeah. Achieve this by the time we're in our early 20s or late 20s or 30s, or that's just all.
Well, you're 50 years wise this year, so we're going to trust you. So log onto YouTube, follow Carl Massey. He's doing some great stuff. So the masterclass starts, first one, you're doing one.
So I'm going to do, one in Melbourne, 28th of June.
Okay.
And
it's a 2 day.
Two and a half days. Come beautiful. In on a Friday night.
Are there still tickets available?
Okay. So finish with some guided meditations just to prime everyone's brain for the next couple of days. And I'm a big fan on you need some knowledge. Knowledge is a beautiful thing. You need to experience, have an experience. And then we need to get into some of the subconscious programming. Yep. So if we really want to get a lasting shift over a short period of time, we need to do some altered states of consciousness stuff.
So this is what I want to ask you. When you look into the past of Carl Massey or help clients to look into the past of their lives, what are we looking at? Like what is your goal? What are you trying to achieve? And like what are you trying to get people to identify in their past in order to move forward?
So there's a saying that says the past without emotion is potential wisdom. So a lot of times people don't want to look in their past, particularly if it's an uncomfortable aspect of their past, because they go into it emotionally. What happens when we go emotional? We trigger our stress response. Our vision becomes more narrow and more fixated, as opposed to when we're relaxed, we've got a broad perspective. So when we look at the past, if we can stay curious, and again, I come back to this thing because I've been teaching it so much of late. If we look through the lens of judgment, it's a very different energy than if we look through the lens of curiosity. Judgment's related to our ego, good, bad, right, wrong.
Yeah.
If I go curious, like I'm actually changing the vibrational frequency that I'm using my body with. So if I look in my past and I look through the lens of curiosity, I'm going to notice things. I'm going to notice maybe patterns. I'm going to notice what's working for me, what's not working for me. I'm likely to notice triggers. I'm likely to notice my weak spots. I'm likely to notice what I do well and how I can do more of it. I tell people, particularly, say for a negative event happens or a major event happens, as soon as possible after that, a major event, like do an analysis of it. And the reason I say that is because if you don't do an analysis of that close to that happening, but you just want to sweep it under the carpet because it feels uncomfortable and you just want to move past it, you might get 6 or 12 months or 18 months down the track. Your memory of that particular experience is going to be clouded, it's going to be distorted, and it's not going to be accurate. So trying to look at the past from too big a distance can be a little bit more problematic. The talk about the past, so for me, the thing that came up for me, the thought that I thought would most serve is, I go through life and the things that trigger me, which cause me to have a reaction that's disproportionate to the experience I'm having at the moment, is feedback to me that there's some past program that I haven't fully harmonized. So I'm going along and I react to something or other, a conversation with a colleague or a conversation with my partner or whoever. If I go completely mad bonkers in that moment and then I'm step back from it later and I think I just turned into a crazy person and that wasn't the situation for it, then I start doing some work and saying, what might be underneath that that caused me to go to that crazy? So that gives me a little bit of feedback, and with that feedback, then I can start looking to see if there was something in my past which I haven't fully dealt with that's contributing to me having this experience today.
It's a very hard experience to look at you react. First of all, admitting that you reacted and it was uncalled for. And then to get vulnerable and ask yourself, why did I react? Because becoming vulnerable is cracking open, and no one wants to crack open because they want to be that strong version and show the world the super version of themselves. If you get there, like, which I suppose I try and practice every day and try and be vulnerable. It doesn't always happen. Ego is a very strong energy within me and with everyone. It's like you got to look at yourself without judgment. So it's like reversing the curiosity towards yourself as well. And like, when you're looking in the mirror.
Absolutely.
And that's probably, for me personally, it's probably one of the hardest things to do. Because it's like, I can help other people all day long. But it's like, when it comes down to like admitting my wrongs and admitting my reactions, it's very hard, even though I theoretically know that that's the right way. And it's, I don't know, why do you believe the ego is such a strong energy within most beings today? Most human beings, should I say, because animals don't have that ego.
Look, I follow Joe Dispenza's work and
he's
fantastic. And if we sort of mix his work and we talk about yogic and we talk about chakras, these seven energy centers, and then the lower three centers, like the first three chakras, are really about survival. So the ego is tied up in survival. So we're still primarily trying to survive. Mm. So there's a part of us that's always wired to survival. So to like get past that, so we can get into self-actualization and self-realization and self-awareness, like we need to move through that. So it actually takes work to get to a place where you can hold yourself without being reactive to that part. Mm. That part that's gone survival, that part that's gone reactive. It actually takes energy to be able to like step back from it. I'm reading, I've just finished reading the book by the author who wrote An Untethered Soul, Michael Singer. And Tony Robbins just did a great interview with him. His latest book is called The Surrender Experiment.
Oh, wow.
And he talks about,
okay.
Yeah, he talks about getting to the stage where there's the real you, the you that's consciousness, which is, and I'm sort of indicating behind my head.
Yeah.
It's up there observing that the thoughts aren't me. Yeah. These emotions that are going around aren't me.
Yeah.
This external stimulation from the world isn't me. So he talks about, rather than trying to suppress all that stuff, it's just acknowledging that it's not you. So, you know, resting in this seat of self.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that can go on around you. And he just like sits here, like he surrenders in this space.
Mm.
So our ability, and it might take practice, it might take yoga, it might take meditation, it might take self-awareness practices where we can just stay there and observe and realize that this isn't necessarily me.
Yeah.
I'm the consciousness that's observing this. Mm. I'm observing these emotions come up. I'm observing these thoughts come up. They're not me. Like that's a spiritual practice when we realize that this stuff is not me. My body's not me.
When we start connecting to the spiritual side of life, which is a big, it should be a big demand in the world, should I say. It's not a big demand. It's not as big as we should be developing towards our higher self. Because spirituality has been deemed of the hippie 60s area, and like, you know, you need to be tripping on mushrooms and, you know, and the typical yogi with long hair and all that. But you and I sit here as very much Western men, strong. You probably stronger than me. And like, you know what I mean? Like, we like not nothing like a hippie whatsoever.
Yeah.
And we have both tapped into a spiritual side of life, which is, for me, is the side of life that we cannot see, but we choose to believe that there's this power greater than ourselves that surrounds us all the time. And for me, it's this simple act. Every morning when I wake up, I go pick, well, now that I'm here, like a frangipani that's in the grass, and go smell that flower. And I'm like, that alone, like a beautiful flower that like that closes at night and opens in the morning. Mm. Like, that's not me. It's something out there. Yeah. I don't have to understand it.
Yeah.
Kind of keeps me in check.
Yeah. Well, the idea that, you know, 13.8 billion years ago, there was this big bang and sort of all of this stuff turned into the experience we have now. Yeah. Like all of these elements were created in space. So there's a lot of magic that had to happen. I generally say to clients, like, and when I'm sort of delving into and I want them to go out of the physical five senses and to go into something bigger, I just sort of take it back to say that, you know, of our bodies, physical matter is like 0.00000012 zeros, 1% is actually physical matter. 99.99999 is energy, intelligence, and information. Mm. So if we're not dealing with that element, like we're not dealing with the whole, the most important part. And that's where I think as people become, as you go deeper and deeper into this stuff, you're going to bump up into, call it spirit, call it quantum physics, a unified quantum field, call it source, call it whatever, call it life. You're going to bump up into this sort of stuff. So part of our work is how can I have a better relationship with this thing that's bigger than me.
What is the purpose of the human experience?
The word I like is evolution. So I want to evolve as much as I can, and I'm spinning my finger around in circles as it goes up into a higher space. And that might be to overcome myself. So to get to a stage where I'm the fullest expression of myself in a way that is good for me, good for others, and good for the greater good. That's what I see the path. I need to become the best version of myself, but if I just do it for myself and not for others, then that's not complete. And I think evolution is the path individually and collectively as well. I don't know exactly what the final evolutionary path looks like, but I think it's about growth. Am I a better person than what I was before? Am I like, I don't know, have I like changed this energy? Am I feeling lighter? Talking like a physics perspective and a quantum physics, you know, we want to get to the stage where we feel lighter because we have these emotions that are lighter. Think frustration, anger, jealousy. Do they feel heavier or lighter versus joy, versus awe, versus wonder? Like, they feel lighter. They're different vibrational frequencies. So I want to feel more lightness. I want to feel more joy. So I want to feel more of these elevated emotional states. So that, for me, is my work. Like, how can I become more conscious of doing the things that take me elevated in the elevated state and more conscious of making choices that don't take me back into feeling heavier and feeling attached to those survival emotions. Yeah. And maybe I need to surrender ego to actually do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I can relate. That's powerful. Complete the sentence. The world needs.
The world needs people to tap into their own innate intelligence.
What questions, finish off, what question have I not asked that needs to be asked? Whether it's for you to answer or for the world to answer.
What question haven't you asked? I think you've asked some good questions, and I think you've asked good questions that have brought out some good practical ideas. I'm always, in any conversation that I have, I want to leave people with some practical things that they can take away with them. So practical things might be slowing down. Practical things might be, you know, make a habit of doing a weekly check-in. And, you know, for me, practical, put it down on the schedule. If it's not down on the schedule, it doesn't happen. don't try and make important decisions when you're not in the right emotional state.
And how do you advise people to get into that right emotional state, stepping out of?
I took physiologically the basics first, drink some water, maybe snack on some food and take some rest. So step back. So having the courage to say, someone's trying to get you to make a decision on something, have the courage to say, hey, I'm not in the right emotional state or mental state to give you the best response now. Can you give me 10 or 15 minutes? I'm just going to step outside, freshen up a bit, and then I'll come back and have this conversation. Because I teach that the quality of our lives relate to the quality of decisions we make, the choices we make. So the better we are at making good choices and having, being in the middle of a decision making where we're in the right mental state, the better results we're going to get.
Yeah, that's amazing. And 15 minutes can be one day or 2 days as well. You don't have to give answers straight away. Let's try and change this immediate effect world into let's go at your own pace. There's a line though, and I want people to understand this. Going at your own pace and slowing down is not laziness. Laziness is gluttony. There's a fine line between being in your own creative space and being lazy. And know which is different. And you're not going to know the difference unless you don't sit down with that pen and paper, old school, and write down what you want in life. I think people need to wake up, ask the question, be curious, and be courageous enough to hold themselves accountable to their goals. And not answer to other people. Before you answer to yourself. So, Carl, thank you. I am so excited for you. I'm so excited. It's going to be amazing. You are in a new venture. You're going to come up with so many amazing ideas and get creative in the next 2 months. Who knows? Yeah. Or who knows? You could decide, I'm done. I'm 50. I've got 20 years. In 30 years, I'm done.
I'm going hippie.
To Bali. I'm going hippie. Why not?
Fantastic. Absolute pleasure as always. And, again, if anyone wants any practical stuff from me, just reach out.
How can people reach out to you?
CarlMassey.com, website there, and contacts in there, Facebooks. You can chase me down.
Yeah. Cool, Facebook and YouTube. Don't forget.
Yeah.
It's continuously updating.
Yes. I've just been prompted to continuously update my YouTube.
Hey, no,
yes,
you had one 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm on to it.
I didn't introduce you as a YouTube vlogger. You've got content. That's great. Cool, guys. Have a beautiful week, and I will see you guys next week.
Awesome.
Do you guys even understand how much I appreciate that you take your time out of your day, out of your night, whatever, your week, your weekend, to listen to these podcasts? It really means so much to me, and it would really mean even more if you love the show and you love this podcast, if you could rate and subscribe to the show. The more people that we have in subscribing to the show, the more people it reaches. And really, my goal is for more people in this world to hear the stories of change makers all around the world and understand what their tips and techniques are to live the most authentic, successful life possible. So guys, again, if you're in Oz in the next couple months, follow Carl, but I know he's going to be exploding all over the world. And you know where to find me, GaryTirola.com, otherwise on social, Gary_Tirola. I love you guys, and I cannot wait to bring you another beautiful episode next week.